Transitioning to Paleo Made Easy, episode 19, with Judith Fine Sarchielli.
You've heard all about this whole paleo thing, but you've wondered if it's really for you. You've been searching for someone to guide you along the way. Your search is over. Let registered nurse Marie Grace Berg lead the way with these inspiring stories of people who have been where you are. Welcome to Transitioning to Paleo Made Easy with Marie Grace Berg.
Suffering from digestive issues, chronic fatigue, skin issues, or nutritional deficiency? A leaky gut could be the root cause of these symptoms and more. Heal your gut with a 30-day gut healing kit. It is the perfect supplement to an anti-inflammatory diet, such as Deep Paleo. Go to transitioningtopaleomadeeasy.com/healyourgut. That's www.transitioningtopaleomadeeasy.com/healyourgut. Yes, paleo fans out there, let's get started. I am excited to introduce you our amazing guest for today, Judith Fine Sarchielli. Judith Fine Sarchielli is a gluten-free Tuscan-style chef, cooking instructor, author, and designer. She was the first person in the U.S. to initiate cooking classes at Whole Foods Market, where she designed their first cooking school, was their first in-store gluten customer consultant. She has taught cuisine for Sur La Table, Williams-Sonoma, University of Denver, the Denver Botanic Gardens, and private homes in Tuscany, California, and Colorado. Judith lived in Tuscany for 20 years and has taught cooking for over 30 years and now combines the gluten-free diet with the paleo diet. She has written and about to be published a cookbook memoir, Tales of a Gluten-Free Gypsy, about the dangers of the gluten-free diet fad that includes traditional Tuscan recipes translated to gluten-free. To our gluten-free and paleo fans out there, Miss Judith Fine Sarchielli, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here. Thank you so much for wanting to interview me. I'm just thrilled, and I have a lot to share with you.
We are delighted to have you on the show, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. So, Judith, I really love your story and what you're putting out there to the paleo and the gluten-free community. As a result of that, our listeners really want to get to know you, and I want to provide that conduit, you know, that bridge between you and our listeners. So here are some cool questions that we can talk about. Feel free to comment anytime about them, but these are just general questions I have in mind. So let's start with you and your life prior to being on the gluten-free or the paleo diet. Can you tell us more about you personally and share us what was your life and personal situation prior to adopting the gluten-free and the paleo diet and lifestyle?
Beginning with when I was born, I have had a lot of allergies, and I'm actually about to be 77 years old. So all my life, I've been battling these different allergies, wheat, dairy, nuts. And I wasn't really heavily affected with them as a child, and I didn't have a rigid diet. However, I did avoid wheat most of the time. Then, when I was 18 years old, I had a chance to go to Europe and study painting in Paris. And I was so excited. I went to Italy on a side trip. I met this gorgeous man and fell in love and eventually married him. And because he was Florentine, and as you probably know, all Italians are very bonded to their food, including pasta and lots of bread and pastries. And I kind of forgot that I was allergic to wheat. And so what happened was that I got very ill, extremely ill. In fact, some of the time I was so almost catatonic in bed, I couldn't think straight. I was sick to my stomach. I had terrible depression. And so I decided that I had to do something about it. Now, this was in, when we were married, it was about 1961. And in between that, we lived together in Paris, London, San Francisco, New York. And I was working and I had a whole different life. But when I was 18, I had just met him. So what happened was that I started exploring different diets, and I ended up trying the macrobiotic diet and actually became a chef in a small little kind of a, almost like a pop-up restaurant in Rome with one of the heads of the Macrobiotic Institute and the East-West Institute in Boston. And I was there, everything. I was a chef. I managed it. I did the grocery shopping. And a lot of famous people came. And at that time, macrobiotics was really something that was for the aristocracy. It wasn't for the average person. Most of our clients were movie stars and people like that. But after that, that ended because the owners had a terrible fight and tore the phone off the hook, and the restaurant closed. And so then I tried becoming also a vegetarian. But when I was a macrobiotic, I was eating rice all the time. In fact, I even used to eat raw rice in the morning and chew it up really well. Well, I eventually became allergic to rice, and I was better. My stomach aches started getting better, and I was a little less depressed. But then I tried a whole slew of other diets. Eventually, when I started working for Whole Foods, clients would come in and tell me that their doctors had told them that they had a wheat allergy, and what should they do? What could they eat? So I started doing a lot of research, and at about the same time, I was having problems again, symptoms, depression, mood swings, stomach aches, headaches. I just didn't feel myself, and so I went to the doctor. My MD told me that I probably had celiac disease, and then I went to a homeopath, and she said I probably had Sjögren's disease, which is very closely related to celiac disease. So I decided that I would go on an elimination diet, and I did. I eliminated gluten a little bit at a time, and all the things that were associated. But at that time, there wasn't a lot of research, so people didn't know about the cross grains, such as corn and quinoa, and many of the things that people say you can eat now on the paleo diet are actually not good to eat, and I can go into the details of that later if you want. But anyway, when I started researching this for my clients and ended up doing it for myself, I got very excited because somehow, instinctively, I felt that this was the right diet for me. I just knew it in my body. So as I started to do this diet, I saw that it was working with me and I was dropping weight rapidly. I think in 3 months, I dropped 30 pounds. I was dropping 10 pounds a month without even trying. I was just eliminating all of the wheat, barley, and rye. But I wasn't eliminating all the other grains that people say you can eat now, some people say. So I went to my manager at Whole Foods and I suggested that they look into this and start buying some gluten-free products. Well, this was, let's see, probably about 2000 and maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And they laughed at me. They said, oh, that's ridiculous. That's so far-fetched. You know, thanks for the idea, but never mind. And the next year, they started carrying gluten-free products. And now, as you probably know, and everyone knows, the shelves are filled with these products, but they're very dangerous. And that's what's dangerous about the fad. And that's when I decided I better write a book about this and let people know that these gluten-free products, even though Whole Foods is making billions of dollars with them, they're very dangerous because they're not true products. They're not natural products. And whether they say they're organic or GMO or whatever they say, it doesn't make any difference. 95% of these products are toxic. So that's what happened, and that's why I started to write my book. And in the meantime, I'm also being a marketing coach for creative entrepreneurs. And the first thing I do, because entrepreneurs have to have a lot of energy reserves because they end up working more than a 9-to-5 job, I put them immediately on the gluten-free and paleo diet. And most of my clients adhere to it and are very excited about the effects that they're feeling so well. They have more energy, they're losing weight. And then after that, we go into more of a marketing format.
Well, what a story you have. And thank you for sharing that very comprehensive story of yours and how, you know, the challenges that you have faced early on, and you've gotten very sick, and then you found out that, okay, this is, you know, I probably have this celiac disease, or that I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to. And especially for our audience and our community, we have a lot of audience that are having these problems as well. And sometimes they are not aware of it until they go to their doctor or get diagnosed with it. And they go from one diet to the other, to another, until they tried what you've just shared about starting to eliminate things. So thank you for sharing, because that's really helpful for our audience as well. Now,
you're welcome. I just wanted to add one thing. During this whole time, I was a single mother. When my son was 7 years old, we moved back to America. And although he was born in Rome, he ended up working in Italy, but then moved back to America when he was older. So through this whole period, I was also being a mother, and I had 4 or 5 other jobs while I was doing that part-time before I worked for Whole Foods. So I was being a fashion designer and editing people's life stories, just a whole lot of different things, because to keep my head above water financially.
Wow. Well, I'm sure I can totally relate to what you just shared. I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to it, because sometimes, that's one of the challenges that our listeners have regarding going paleo or gluten-free, because they think that it is expensive, or going organic is expensive. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to that, sometimes we have to find ways out to make it most cost-effective for us going into this route. Now, for the sake of our listeners, how can you share with them what were those first steps that you took early on that our listeners can learn from, especially for those trying to transition to the gluten-free or the paleo diet?
Well, the first thing, I am one for researching. So the first thing I did was go online, and I started researching gluten. And I found out then about the gluten, the different kinds of gluten issues. There's allergies, okay, and then there's also sensitivity, and then there's celiac disease. And actually, a lot of people also include gluten intolerance, but that is a kind of a wishy-washy category, and it doesn't really count. So there's only the 3 main categories. And I did not go to a doctor. I am self-diagnosed. However, because of the doctors that I find online and follow who have free newsletters, and I could tell you about, give you some names later if you like, I found out so much more than I found out when I went to my regular MD and my allergist, because they didn't know anything about gluten. At the time, people were not talking about it. And this was about 5 or 6 years ago, although gluten has been diagnosed ever since the 1930s. But doctors, because they don't really spend any time studying nutrition, really didn't know about it. And many doctors, even neurologists, my first neurologist didn't know anything about gluten. He said, oh, I've heard about that, but that's all. That's all he knew. So I was researching online. I was reading books. I was looking at whatever information I could find, and I self-diagnosed, and I started the elimination diet. And as I said, what I did was, first of all, eliminated the wheat, rye, and barley. But as I kept researching and learning more, I found out about the cross grains. And I found out that not only are most of the cross grains not the original grain, as is true of the wheat and rye and barley, which we're really, human beings today are not really ready to digest. Our digestive tract is not ready to receive grains, according to some theories. And I find that's true for me and the people that I know that have a gluten problem. So corn, especially, 95% of corn is GMO. And even if you find corn that's organic, it's very possible that it's been contaminated because of the processing. And many plants that process corn process the wheat at the same time, and soy, which is another very toxic food. So, and I can tell you how these became toxic and why they became toxic. There's a history to that that has to do with the U.S. government and food subsidies and all that, but I don't know if you want to go into that at all.
Yes, we can go. We can touch on some of it because that will be really helpful for our audience as well to learn about this cross grains, the cross contamination. You know what the facets are going on around it. Because now the mainstream media is really is catching up on this topic, and more of the health, the community, the medical community are finding it really. Helpful that, you know, for especially for the celiac diagnosed patients, that diet is really big on it. So it's sad that they're still not as prevalent. And I could imagine way back then, 5 or 10 years ago, when it was not really recognized. But I believe that nowadays it's more and more coming mainstream. So we'll touch on that later on in our chat. Now I would love for you to touch on what have been your biggest challenges transitioning to the gluten-free and the paleo diet that you can, and how have you addressed them so that our listeners can learn from them as well?
All right. Well, I think my biggest general challenge has just been to be slowing down. I get so passionate and excited about doing this because the reason I really kind of fell into this fit in with my early childhood dream of making the world better. And I know that sounds really idealistic, and I wanted to do it on a big scale as a child, but I've narrowed it down to doing it a few people at a time and starting with myself. So that was my biggest challenge, was learning to slow down. My next biggest challenge was sugar. I had a sugar craving, and I thought I had beat it when I started eating dark chocolate that was sugarless. However, I found out that I was having urine, a bladder incontinence, and I was really miserable because I was peeing every practically 2 hours. So I went to a specialist, I don't know what they're called.
Urologist?
Yeah, a urologist. And I should know better than that. He wouldn't like me to say that I forgot what he was called. But anyway, he had been the urologist for President Reagan, believe it or not. And he said most people that have this incontinence problem is because of their diet. And I was so excited to hear this. I thought maybe I had cancer or something. So he put me on a very strict diet of no caffeine, no spices, no alcohol, and a few other things. And I went on it and I got better. And so I was very excited about that. But it didn't take care of the sugar thing. He didn't mention sugar. So little by little, I started reading about it. I had read the first book about how dangerous sugar is in the 60s, I think it was. I can't remember what it was called, but it's still around. And people are basically saying the same thing. But how it relates to diet is very interesting. And very recently, like about a year ago, I did a hair analysis. And on a hair analysis, you get to monitor your improvement every 3 or 6 months. And with this diet that they put me on, I work with a doctor and a functional practitioner. It's mainly 77% greens and the rest protein. Now, I'm not saying this is good for everybody, but they put me on it because I was doing better with the gluten and had started the paleo. But I wasn't really, I knew I could get better. And I did, because they have a special line of supplements and I could monitor everything. And at that time is when I went off of no grains whatsoever. And so the sugar, the learning to slow down, and then my next challenge that is a big one that came up in the last 6 months is I learned I have been diagnosed with ataxia. With gluten ataxia, which hardly anybody knows about. And even the people that know about ataxia, the neurologists, are really in a quandary about gluten ataxia because they don't know about gluten. And this is a kind of a disease of imbalance. And it's related to the cerebellum. I have a very mild case, thank goodness, because it can get very serious. So I'm investigating this with the center of, with the UCLA Ataxia Center, head of that center. And I have an appointment. It took me 2 months to get an appointment, but I'm getting one in the next 2 weeks, in 2 months. No, it took me 2 months and I'm getting one in 2 weeks. So I'll find out more. And in the meantime, I've been on a forum, two forums about that. And it's just amazing, these people that, first of all, they don't know that gluten is going to make it worse. And I have been, if I go off my diet, you can't cheat on the gluten-free diet if you've got a serious problem. If you're doing it just to lose weight, I wouldn't recommend that. And not everybody should do the diet, and that's why it's a dangerous fad. However, if you do do it and you know what you're doing, you have to find a specialist to work with. Because, who knows about gluten, and then who knows about ataxia if you have that problem. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense. And it's really alarming to see all of these symptoms, all of these signs and symptoms that are coming out related. Now we're finding out it's related to some foods. So for example, with this gluten ataxia that you've just shared, I'm sure in one way or another, a lot of our listeners have experience or could experience this. And if they are not aware of it, they could be misdiagnosed. So thank you for sharing that one, because that's really helpful. And for the sake of our listeners, you know, this gluten ataxia that you just shared with us, this is the symptom of a motor imbalance, or, you know, what I have researched as well, what I've read is a certain kind of protein in a gluten product, yes, or a gluten food that, you know, yeah, gives reaction to that part of our brain that controls our gait and movement. So, wow, it's really alarming to see these symptoms coming out. So thank you for sharing that one. And for our listeners, if you have these symptoms, make sure that when you go to the doctor to mention about the diet, and if do your own research, like what Judith just shared with us, do your own research, go online, because there's a lot of resources out there and a forum community that you can change or can bounce back ideas with and that you can learn from, especially for those people out there who are having this experience as well, or who are having these challenges as well, because it's really important to educate ourselves and do our own research. So thank you for sharing those challenges and how you're able to overcome them by doing your own research and being proactive in eliminating those things that you know are making the symptoms worse. For example, going gluten-free, totally gluten-free.
Yes. And do you want to hear anything about how I eliminated the sugar craving?
Yes, absolutely. And this is one area that a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, can resonate with. So please go ahead.
Okay. Well, according to this Hair Report diet that I did, they also told me to eat 3 tablespoons of butter or olive oil or coconut oil a day at each meal. Now, I am not doing that, but what I started to do was I started to get the raw butter, which is not processed at all, and with each meal, I eat at least 1 tablespoon of each. So I eat 3 to 4 meals a day, small meals. So that helped. But the other thing that is the main thing in anybody's diet that I recommend is kale. Kale is the most wonderful cleansing vegetable that removes the toxins from your system. It's one of the few vegetables that has vitamin K, which there's 2 digestive systems, actually. We have 1 in our head and 1 in our gut. And what happens is that they're interrelated. So whatever we eat, the nutrients either go to our brain or they don't. And for instance, a lot of people are taking, this is kind of going off the subject of the sugar, but a lot of people take supplements, but they don't really know if they're absorbing the supplements. And if you go on the gluten-free or paleo diet and you don't know what you're doing, or if you're absorbing your nutrients or not, or your supplements, you can become anemic. So that's another danger of the fad. And it can also lead to serious life-threatening diseases if you don't get the nutrients you want. So I really recommend, I think naturopathic doctors are great, nutritionists are great, but you've got to find the specific one who understands what your individual problem is, because there are no solutions across the board, and there aren't even any 100% tests yet. They're developing gluten intolerance tests, but they haven't gotten anything. The closest they have are panels that are able to diagnose certain parts of what you're experiencing, your allergies, but there's nothing definitive. That's why I think it's good for each person, as you suggested again, that we research, we go to experts, and if a doctor doesn't know what you're talking about or doesn't take you seriously, you should just never see that doctor again. That's my opinion.
Absolutely. Totally anyway, on board.
So it was the butter and the kale, and I don't eat a lot of meat, but I do eat a lot of proteins. I eat pastured eggs, which means they are not fed on soy or corn. And I make sure that the raw meat that I eat, the beef, if I eat beef, has not been finished with soy and corn, because sometimes they'll say that it's grass-fed, but it isn't. And I don't eat raw anymore, but I used to be on a raw diet, and I used to eat raw meat, and I felt great, but I don't do that anymore. It's too much trouble. So that's that sugar thing. Is just that it can really literally eat you up, and it affects your brain. It's like heroin, and it you get addicted, and even if you just eat a little, you want more. And then what happens is it affects your hormones, and then you start producing cortisol, which makes you more anxious and nervous. So then you have the metabolic syndrome, where your energy goes up and then you drop down and you get depressed, and then you have to have more sugar, and it just keeps going up and down.
Well said. And those are really helpful tips for our listeners to curtail these sugar cravings that we all have, I'm sure. So first is to eat raw butter, just like what Judith just shared with us. One tablespoon with each meal is what she does. I also do that. I also eat raw butter, or I also use coconut oil on my smoothies as well, when I do my green smoothies. And yes, I love kale. So for our listeners out there, kale is really a great cleansing vegetable, like what Judith just shared. And for me, I often have it on as a salad, or I put it on my green smoothie. So that will be my morning routine. I have a green smoothie with kale, with greens, and especially dark green leafy vegetables. So really helpful. And then the third one is to eat protein, and I agree with you. So a lot of our listeners confuse the paleo diet to be eating more meat, and it's not about eating a lot of meat, because I believe that 75% at least should be greens, and the rest are protein and fat. So don't be mistaken that because it's paleo, you have to eat a lot of meat, because we really don't need that much meat. No. So and yes, I'm big on eating pasteurized eggs, especially those are not fed with, like what Judith shared, corn, soy, and those artificial feeds that they are giving. Make sure that the meat that you are eating are grass-fed, and like what you said, not really grass-fed, not being fed with other hormones, for example, or antibiotics. Even if the labels, because there's a whole lot of story behind this labelings that we see nowadays, especially on the store. So we really have to do our diligent research on really finding out if these are really labeled just for the sake of labeling, or are they really true in itself.
It's wonderful to hear that you are so informed about that, because most people aren't. And it's just the government is trying, I don't know what's happening, but it's like people are getting sicker and sicker. I eat a lot of, also, the fish are very dangerous, as you, I'm sure you're so educated about all this that you must know, but I eat a lot of wild salmon and sardines. And on this diet that I'm following, it wants me to eat sardines 3 times a week because they're so high in vitamin D and the EPAs and the DHAs. And so is salmon. So I'm lucky because I have a Trader Joe's and I can get those things there. But you can also find a lot of these products that you need to find, like the coconut oil, on online, and there's a company called Vitacost that has very inexpensive products that are the same you would find in the supermarket or Whole Foods. And also Amazon has a lot of products. So many times I just order in because I don't drive and I live in a canyon and it's hard for me to go grocery shopping sometimes.
Yeah,
but you really had it. And I also eat more lamb than anything. And in New Zealand, the lamb isn't organic, but it is a lot of it is not loaded with soy and corn. So I do fine with that. You see, on the elimination diet, when you started putting taking things out and putting back one product at a time, you will find that you'll have an immediate reaction. Your stomach knows what it wants and what it needs. And you will see that either you'll have a low mood the next day. Maybe if you have arthritis, you'll have more pain. I notice on my arms when I eat or my hands when I eat something that's not good, because I can get gluten in a restaurant or at a friend's house, I get little red spots. And that's a sign to me. I'm very lucky to have that happen, that I've got to like really be more careful where I go and what I do.
Yes, and I agree with you. I mean, if we can find those wild meat, or at least, because for me, when I travel a lot, and so I live both in Norway and here in the US, and in Norway, we still have the luxury of finding some wild meat, a wild salmon or wild meat from elk,
yes.
Or for lamb that they, you know, this lamb that, I mean, the sheep that they grow from the whole summer, they are outside grazing on grass, so and by the time the fall comes in, that's the time they slaughter them, and that's really a very good source of meat, because this sheep were not fed any commercial feeds, because they feed on grass the whole summer. So yes, parts of the world still have this, and if you have that chance, that's the best way to get your protein. And otherwise, Trader Joe's is a great resource. And yes, I love that you shared about the Vitacos or the Amazon. It's really a great place to order. You know, a lot of this that are, but you really have to be careful on reading the labels, researching
yes.
on them, not just because it says organic or grass fed and you believe in it. So you have to do your own research, because I see them on the store nowadays. I mean, more and more says organic, grass fed,
yes.
but then I will think that, okay, now what? Is this going to be? Because more and more people are becoming aware of it. So more and more people are buying into, for example, organic. And we think that everything that's organic is good for us. But on the other hand, it's not all organics are really organic. So we really have to do our own research in finding out which ones are true or not.
Oh, that's so important. I'm glad you brought that up, because actually we should call the manufacturers, because I don't want to mention the name, but at one of the big health food stores, I have a contact, because I worked there for 3.5 years, that is the meat manager. And so he will really answer me honestly, but you can't always trust who you hear in these places. So I would call the manufacturer of the product if you have any confusion whatsoever. And they can lie too, but most of the time you can find somebody that will tell you the truth. It's getting harder and harder. I don't know. That's why we have to depend on our bodies. I really, and our instinct. And, you know, I didn't mention that I also meditate, and I find that by slowing down and giving myself more inner time, I actually can have a good feel, a good instinct about whether this product is really good for me or not. It's a little woo-woo, but it seems to be working for me. And I think that meditation is a wonderful way to find out if what you're eating is really agreeing with you. You can just ask your inner self and ask your digestive tract and see what it says.
Yes, I totally agree with you, because our body, and if you listen to our body, it will tell you what is good to you or not. And so I'm really big on that as well. So really find out, because your body's going to tell you if this is right for you or not, because you will have the symptoms, you will have this, a lot of symptoms, gut problems or mood swings or headaches or like that. So things that is telling you something. So if we learn how to listen to our body and find out what it really, what makes us feel good, what makes our body feels good, and go with that one instead of just going against us, so we're thinking that all these symptoms are from something else. Yes. But it's really important to listen to our bodies, because it really tells us what is right and what is not right for our body. Yes. As well.
Yes, that's so important. You're so right. And the other thing I didn't mention, that I'm also a grandmother, and I'm noticing that my patients, I have a 3-year-old granddaughter, and actually her mother is Finnish and she's in Finland right now. They spend the summer there. And so I know a little bit about Scandinavia, and that they actually have a much healthier lifestyle than we do in America. But one of the things that I noticed is that, well, I learned this in macrobiotics, that you should never cook with anger. And I prepare a lot of meals for this little baby, because I do about 30 hours a week of babysitting, plus my working with my other marketing and the book. So I'm really busy, and I get easily frustrated sometimes. And I found that when I improve my diet and I work on my patience as one of my most important virtues to develop, because I'm a very impatient person by nature and a perfectionist, I find that I don't cook when I'm angry. If for some reason I'm picking up the anger from my grandbaby because she's having the terrible threes, I calm down, first of all, I calm down her, and then we break the energy, and then I ask her if she wants to cook with me, and we get in a better mood, and then she's eating the food that isn't affected by the emotions. And I know that might sound woo-woo too, but it really, really is a true thing.
That I can totally agree with you with what you've just shared, because yes, I mean, cooking should be something that we enjoy. And I remember my grandma, she used to say that when you cook and you are happy doing it, and you feel that you feel it in yourself and you're happy because you're going to be sharing this to other people, it will show. And she used to tell us that one, that you should be happy when you're doing it, when you are cooking, because it's like a ritual. It's kind of a ritual for her. And I remember what she said when you mentioned that, because yeah, I totally agree, because for me too, I mean, I'm not really the most patient person, but I tend to, like what you said, tend to avoid doing things when I'm in that mode of being impatient, because I wouldn't be accomplishing anything at all if I am doing something when I'm not really patient about it. So yes, totally agree that you and thanks for sharing that one, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to that one as well.
You're
now,
welcome.
For our listeners, I would love for you to share with them what would be the 3 things that they can take action on today if they want to go gluten-free and paleo diet.
Well, that's a good question and a big question. And to narrow it down, really, I suggest that people, first of all, it's not about the money when you buy quality products. In the end, you're saving money because you don't have to eat large portions. With the protein, you can just eat the size of your fist. That's all you need. And you don't have to eat it 3 times a day. Increase the number of vegetables. According to some experts, you're supposed to eat 10 cups a day. Now, that's a big amount of vegetables, and I don't eat quite that much, but eat kale at least 2 times a day for breakfast and lunch, or lunch and dinner. Then I suggest you do a hair analysis, because I think it's good, because you can compare what you did in the past and see if what you're doing and the supplements you're taking are actually helping. And then I think the elimination diet, I really believe in the elimination diet, and you can look that up on Google. Use your Google. It's our Wizard of Oz, and I really use it all the time, and actually you get better questions than I can get from people sometimes. So I would follow up on that. And those are the 3 things. And also learn to handle your emotions and not be your emotions. You have an essence and a core, And each person has this special quality that they came to this planet to share with others. And if you're an emotional reactor, you're not getting to the core of who you really are and what you're here to do.
Wow, great tips there that our listeners can take action on today. So let me just summarize that one again. So the first one is to increase the number of vegetables that you eat on a daily basis, especially kale, at least twice a day. And then the second one is to do a hair analysis. And I'm sure here in the US, I'm sure there's a lot of places that you can do this hair analysis. I did that one in one of the salons that I go to, and you can do that one. It's a very quick remedy. Procedure that they do. They use a certain kind of equipment that they run onto your, like a laser on your hair, and then they can find out what nutrient deficiencies that you have. So it's really helpful to know that. And the third one is to do elimination diet. And yes, there's a lot of resources out there that you can follow, and your body's going to tell you. So start eliminating things. Start with, for example, the gluten ones, like the wheat, rye, or barley, and other grains, and then go from there. Listen to your body, what it's telling you. And plus also to learn to handle your emotions. Yes, really big on this one, and not let your emotions overpower you, because then it will just go downwards, spiral downwards from there. So huge takeaways here. So thank you for sharing. Now, I would love for yes.
I just wanted to mention a couple of other things. One is that there is a category, psychological category, called highly sensitive people. And the highly sensitive person is the name of the book by Elaine Aron. And some people are more sensitive than others. I think it's 20% of the population. And if you don't know that that is the case, I would look into it. Because if you are sensitive to things like when a door slams, you jump. It can be related to thyroid. It can be related to a lot of things. But for highly sensitive people, they have to watch their diet because they're very sensitive to food. The other thing that I want to say is that I have a wonderful book about meditation, the simplest kind of meditation and handling your emotions. Can I mention that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. It's called Your Brain Can Keep You Well. And it's by Roy Masterson. And I am on my third consecutive reading of it because it's like my little Bible. It tells you as the simplest kind of meditation. I've never been able to meditate because I have a monkey mind, and I've tried and it didn't work. This works. It's very simple. And the emotional part of it is very simple too, and huge. I mean, this man, I don't know why nobody's heard of him, and his thoughts and philosophies and ideas are so gigantic and so valuable that I've never, ever met anybody like that before. So those are two of the things I wanted to mention.
Wow, great resource there. And I'll make sure to have those on our show notes. I'll make sure to check that one out as well. So for our listeners out there, it's the Your Brain Can Keep You Well by Roy Masterson and the Highly Sensitive People. Also great resource. I'll make sure to have that one on our resource notes. Now, I'd love for you to touch on your coming book, Tales of the Gluten-Free Gypsy. Tell us more about it. What are the benefits that our listeners can get on that book, and when are they going to expect it to be out there?
All right. Well, I spent 6 years writing this book, and it was hard because new information kept coming in, and I kept having to change things, and that didn't go over too well with the book designer. But anyway, it should be out in August, and we're going to have a sales page. I don't have the link to that yet, but if you want to know more about it, you can just Google Gluten-Free Gypsy. The name of it is Tales of a Gluten-Free Gypsy, The Dangers of the Gluten-Free Diet Fad. And the reason I wrote it is because, as I mentioned before, a lot of people are jumping onto this, I call it a caravan, where it's like, even with the paleo and the gluten, you have to be careful because it can be dangerous. Now, this book is a cookbook memoir. So the memoir part of it is pretty much from my childhood to the time that, well, to the present time. And it covers all my adventures that I had when I was married to this very exciting, dynamic, totally crazy Florentine man who became a well-known actor. And I helped him in his career and all the ventures where we lived all around the world. And that's the memoir part. And then I learned to cook for my mother-in-law, my Florentine mother-in-law, when I lived in Italy for those 20 years. And she had learned to cook from her uncle, who was a chef in the fine hotels of Florence during the turn of the century. So she was had actually gone to a kind of a cooking school, and all her recipes were hundreds of years old, or many of them were. And the Mediterranean diet is still one of the top diets in the world to follow, even though you have to eliminate the grain part of it. But it was mainly, apart from the grains, vegetables, more vegetables than meat, and lots of beans. Now, beans are a problem for me because they're high in sugar because of the carbohydrates. But anyway, I translated many of these recipes into gluten-free. So they're very authentic and they're simple. In Italy, they say, cook like a peasant and eat like royalty. And it's really true. These are family recipes, and the best food in Italy is still in family-owned trattorias and in people's homes. So they're wonderful recipes. They're market-tested. They've been around for 300 or 400 years, most of them. And yeah, I think people really enjoy them.
Yes, I'm so excited for your book and when it's going to come out. And so for our listeners out there, it's watch out for Judith's book. It's Tales of a Gluten-Free Gypsy. It's coming out in August. I'll make sure that we will have this on our show notes, and I'll be updating it as well to coincide when you open
this. Oh, that's wonderful.
Absolutely. And if there's, what's the best way that our listeners can connect with you and learn more about what you're putting out there and what you are doing for our community?
Well, I'm going to be having a newsletter pretty soon, but I haven't really got it, and I have to update. I don't even know if I will update my webpage. I don't know, but the best way is to you just email me, because I can answer your questions and send you some free recipes and, you know, give you some support for what you're doing. So my email is S is in Sam, A Apple, R Robert, C Cat, H Happy, at Gmail. Oh, I'm sorry, Judith. It's Sark Judith at gmail.com. J-U-D-I-T-H. S-A-R-C-H Judith, J-U-D-I-T-H at gmail.com.
Yeah, so that's sarkjudith@gmail.com. I'll make sure to have this on our show notes. So her email again is sarchjudith@gmail.com. So watch out for her coming book, The Tales of the Gluten-Free Gypsy, which is going to be out in August. I'll make sure to have this on our show notes. I'll make sure to update it as well so that our listeners can follow where they can get this book. And is it going to be available on Amazon as well?
Yes, yes, it will be.
All right.
It'll eventually be an ebook and Kindle, but I don't know. This process has been taking too long, and I don't know how soon that will happen, but it will happen eventually.
Yeah, so we'll surely be watching out on it, and I'll make sure to update our show notes to coincide with where what links our listeners can go to purchase the book as well. So I'll be in touch with you to update me and update our show notes on where our listeners can get the book, what links they can use, or even they can just go to Amazon when the book comes out,
right,
and just type in Tales of a Gluten-Free Gypsy on the search bar, and you'll find the one by Judith Fine-Sarchielli.
Yes, thank you so much. And I should probably spell my name. Should I spell my name?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, it's F as in Frank, A Apple. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that because I get confused. F is in Frank. I'll start it that way. I, N is in no, E hyphen, S is in Sam, A-R-C-H-I-E-L-L-I.
Yes, and that's Judith Fine hyphen Sarchielli.
And you say it just right.
Yes, and I'll make sure that one that the spelling and like that will be on our show notes so that our listeners can get it correctly. Judith, thank you so much for being so generous in sharing your time and your inspiring story, for being a role model to many, and for bringing such a positive energy with our listeners today. The Paleo fans out there, including me, appreciate you and wish you more success in business and in your life.
Well, I am so grateful that you took the time to interview me, and this is the best interview I've ever done. You are so organized and so knowledgeable that I am honored to be able to be on your program. So thank you so much.
The pleasure is mine. So thank you, Judith.
Good luck to you always, and blessings.
No time to cook? No worries. Pete's Paleo delivers. If you are like me, no time to cook and no good at cooking, Pete's Paleo delivers farm fresh gourmet meals right to your doorstep. Order now at transitioningtopaleomadeeasy.com/delivery. That's www.transitioningtopaleomadeeasy.com/delivery.
Thanks for listening to Transitioning to Paleo Made Easy. Now it's time to get your quick and easy step-by-step guide to transitioning to the paleo diet. This beautiful free download includes the three most important things that you need to be focusing on in order to make the transition as smooth as possible. Ready to get started? Head over to transitioningtopaleo.com right now and begin your journey, and we'll see you next time.